Take your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 3. We're going to get through the first six verses tonight, I hope. I will tell you that I did have an opportunity to talk to Brother Mike Alexander on Monday, and told him that we had voted as a church to support him, and we actually sent our first support check for the month of August, got that in before the month was over, told him we were going to do that and then start sending a check, the same amount, $100 every month. And so he was very appreciative and wanted me to tell the church how much he appreciates not only being able to come and present his ministry, but for the support. And he said, you know, I appreciate the money, but I want you to pray for me. I said, well, we understand that prayer's just more important than the money, and we'll do both. So again, just ask you to keep all our missionaries in your prayers. So last week we had Bible school. So a couple weeks ago we finished up John chapter 2 in our study of the book of John. You remember Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it says there in verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And John calls them signs in other places. The things that he did to prove that he was not just a man. And many believed in his name. So tonight we start John chapter 3. You know, there's many instances in the Bible, records in the Bible of Jesus preaching. And yet the Gospels never refer to him as a preacher. Repeatedly they call Jesus a teacher. And some of the richest, deepest things that he said were not in a sermon, although there were rich and deep things in those sermons, but some of the richest things that he said was when he was in a teacher-pupil setting, when he was one-on-one. One of the greatest lessons that he taught, some of the richest things he said, is when he was a teacher and Nicodemus, as his pupil, was sitting at his feet, and as recorded in John chapter 3. So in verse 1 tonight, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Maybe he was one that saw the signs, saw the miracles that Jesus was working in Jerusalem, and had not yet come to believe on him as some of the others had. He was a Pharisee. Usually when we think of Pharisees, we think of bad guys. They weren't a very pleasant lot when it came to Christ. They were always trying to trip him up. They were trying to trick him. They were trying to get him to say something that would discredit him, trying to get him to say something that they could arrest him for as his ministry went on. So we don't think of Pharisees too highly. You would not say that they were friends or supporters of Jesus. But there were some exceptions, and Nicodemus was one of those exceptions. We meet him here in John chapter 3. We meet him again when the Sanhedrin, of which he was a member, had Jesus on trial, and Nicodemus stood up and said something in Jesus' behalf. And then we meet him again as Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus down from the cross, and it says that Nicodemus helped Joseph bury Jesus. But all those references are in the book of John. None of the other Gospels mention Nicodemus. His name means conqueror of the people. Now, we don't know if he ever conquered any people, but that's what his name means. And it seems like that as a Pharisee, he possessed their virtues, but none of their vices. So if there was a thing as a good Pharisee, Nicodemus would be one of them. He was a godly man. He believed the scriptures. He was righteous. And his mind was open to new truth that came from God. We're going to see that, at least the start of it, tonight. The Bible doesn't say it, but tradition says that he was a wealthy man. If you go back and you read the last part of John, probably both he and Joseph were wealthy men. They brought 100 pounds of spices when they buried Christ. He was also a man of position and influence. He was a ruler of the Jews. So he served on the Sanhedrin, which was the highest ruling body that the Jews had, the highest court, the highest body that the Romans allowed to operate under their rule. All right, verse 2 says, the same, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, again, it implies that he's seen the miracles. But the question that he's going to ask implies that he has not yet believed on Christ as others had that had seen the miracles. So he came at night. Now, people have asked down through the ages why at night. Most people think that he came at night because he didn't want the other Pharisees to know that he was meeting with Jesus. Again, this was early in his ministry, but the Pharisees, if you recall from chapter 1, had already heard about Jesus preaching and teaching. They'd already sent a committee, representatives of the Sanhedrin, to check Jesus out. They came back and reported. They wanted to know by what authority that John the Baptist and what authority Jesus was operating in as he taught the people. And so Nicodemus perhaps had heard that report as those men had come back. And again, his colleagues, the other Pharisees, did not accredit Jesus as a teacher. They questioned why he was doing what he was doing, by what authority he was doing it in. And so for one of their body to come and approach Jesus and ask the question that Nicodemus did wouldn't go over too well with the other Pharisees. So many people think he came by night so as not to rile up his fellow Pharisees. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, if you read after Bible teachers, many of them present that theory. Others think that he came by night because Jesus was so busy during the day that Nicodemus said, hey, if I could come at night, he wouldn't be so busy. I could have some alone time with him. I could have a longer visit with him. It would probably be uninterrupted as opposed to the day when all sorts of people are clamoring for his time. I sort of think that was it. I think Nicodemus planned it. I think Nicodemus had watched Jesus, knew he was busy during the day, knew he wouldn't have much time if he came to him during the day. And so he came to him at night in the hopes that they could spend some quality time together and Nicodemus could ask him the questions that were on his heart. Rabbis always said that the best time to study the scriptures was at night. And so here's Nicodemus approaching Jesus. And as he comes, he calls Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. that was a title that had a lot of honor associated with it among the Jews. If they called somebody Rabbi, they were exalting them. They were holding them up as a teacher. And so Nicodemus came and said, Rabbi. Now again, the Pharisees had not accredited Jesus as a teacher. They had not sort of given him their stamp of approval. And yet here was one of them calling Jesus a rabbi. And he went on to say, we know. Now, who the we is, we don't know. I mean, he said, we know. Well, was he talking about a smaller group of Pharisees? Were there other Pharisees? Was he just talking about himself and Joseph of Arimathea? I don't think the first time they came together was at the crucifixion. They probably knew each other and perhaps were friends. Maybe it was the people that came to Jesus, you know, to check him out. Don't know. But Nicodemus says, we know, and that word know, it comes from the Greek word odemen, which means that you have thought through the experiences that you have witnessed or heard about and have come to a conclusion. And so what Nicodemus was saying, hey, and again, I don't know who we is, but just speaking for himself, I have processed everything that I've heard about you. I have processed everything that I've seen you do, okay? And I've come to a conclusion. And here's the conclusion that he came to. He says, thou art a teacher come from God. Now again, just think about what it means for Nicodemus to say this. He's a Pharisee, part of a group that has condemned Jesus, will go on to condemn Jesus, has not accepted him as all as a teacher, and yet here's Nicodemus saying, I know, based on what I've seen and heard about you, that you are a teacher, you are a rabbi, and that you have been sent from God. Now again, as the Pharisees didn't accredit him, but Nicodemus was saying, well, your accreditation is higher than we could give you anyway. Your accreditation comes from God. And he says, I know this. I mean, I process this, but I know this because of the things I've seen you do, the signs, the miracles that you worked. He said, nobody can do what you're doing except God be with him. And so Nicodemus says, based on what you've done, I know that you are a teacher and that you are a teacher from God. Now, did Nicodemus think that Jesus was the Messiah? Don't know yet. Don't know yet. But he was curious enough and had an open mind, unlike the other Pharisees, that he wanted to come to Jesus and ask some questions and get some more information. So, Nicodemus comes very courteously and says, Rabbi, I know you're a teacher and that you have been sent from God, because if you weren't sent from God, you couldn't, nor anybody else could do the things that you are doing. Now, look how Jesus answered him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kind of an abrupt answer. I mean, again, Nicodemus was very nice. He was very courteous in his approach to Jesus and what he said. But Jesus' reply to him, verily, verily, what he was saying, listen, those words, when they're used together, listen, I'm about to say something important. Except a man. Now, that word man means anybody, any man. Except anyone be born again, he cannot see, and that word see means to partake of or to enter in or to enjoy. Except any man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you say, well, why was Jesus so abrupt with Nicodemus? I mean, Nicodemus was nice to him. Why did Jesus just sort of, you know, smack him in the face and throw that out? Well, Ruth Ann probably knows this. One of the teaching methods that teachers sometimes use is called the shock method, where a teacher makes a shocking statement, something that goes against everything their pupils believe, and you make that statement to get their attention, to get them to think about what you just said. I think that's what Jesus was doing. I mean, he made a statement that went against everything that Nicodemus believed and thought and had been taught his whole life. I mean, again, Jesus knew why Nicodemus was coming. I mean, and he didn't waste any pleasantries. He got right to the heart of the matter. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, as a Pharisee, well, as a Jew, Nicodemus had always assumed and believed that he was going to have a choice place in the kingdom of God. And he would have that place because he was born a Jew. Now, Jews did good works. But they did good works to please God and get rewards when they go to heaven. But there was no question in any of their minds that they were going to be part of the kingdom of God and have a place in that kingdom because they were born a Jew. And that's what Nicodemus had been taught. That's what he had taught. That's what he believed. I mean, it was at the core of his being. I'm a Jew. I'm one of God's chosen people. I'm going to have a place in the kingdom of God. Not because of anything I've done or haven't done, just simply because I was born, had a Jewish mom and a Jewish dad. I was born a Jew, so I'm going to have a place in the kingdom of God. And here was this Galilean guy who Nicodemus's colleagues had not accredited as a teacher, saying, look, unless a man, any man, including you as a Pharisee, is born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. Now, that word again, okay, unless any man was born again, is the Greek word anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N, okay, anothen. So unless you're born again, unless you're born anothen, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Has three different meanings, okay? It could mean a complete radical change from where you started. It could mean a second natural birth, or it could mean a birth from above, okay? Now, this was the shocking truth that Jesus had said to get Nicodemus thinking, okay? Said, hey, it doesn't matter if you're a Pharisee. It doesn't matter that you're a Jew. Unless you are born again, you are not going to enter the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus had said, hey, unless Gentiles are born again, they're not going to see the kingdom of God. I mean, Nicodemus would have understood that. Yeah, Gentiles need to be born again to come into the kingdom of God. But a Jew? A Pharisee? A ruler of the Jews? You mean I need to be born again? Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, so Nicodemus, when Jesus used that word for again, anothen, Nicodemus jumped to the second meaning. I've got to be born physically a second time. And he asked the question, how can a man do that when he's old? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? I mean, the fact that he asked those questions shows that he expected Jesus to reply negative. No, that's impossible. Man, an old man can't do that. You can't enter into it. And so here's Nicodemus. Well, what do you mean then? I mean, I've been taught all my life. I believed all my life. It's one of my core values that I'm part of the kingdom of God because I am a Jew. And what Jesus was saying, hey, it doesn't matter you're a Jew, it doesn't matter that you're a Pharisee, unless you are born a second time from above, you can't enter the kingdom of God. See, I think that's what Jesus expected Nicodemus to say. I think Jesus expected Nicodemus to jump to that second meaning, a second physical birth, and he used that as a shock treatment because, again, it was ingrained in Nicodemus's mind. It was ingrained in his heart. It was ingrained in his being that he was already part of the kingdom of God because he was a Jew. And Jesus had to change that belief. And so, again, he didn't waste any time. He just hit him in the face. He knew why Nicodemus was coming. And he said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You're not going to see it as a Jew. You're not going to see it as a Pharisee. All men, Jews and Gentiles, Pharisees and publicans, they all need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Now look at verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Again, verily, verily. Hey, listen, I'm about to say something important. Just listen. And again, except any man, all men, including you, Nicodemus, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Now, some say that water represents baptism, specifically John the Baptist's baptism, which was symbolic of repentance from sin. The Pharisees had rejected John the Baptist. And again, if you stop and think about being born of the Spirit encompasses repentance. Okay? So I don't think Jesus was talking about baptism or John the Baptist baptism. I think when Jesus said born of water, he was talking about physical birth. Physical birth. And you see that in verse 6 when it says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If you are born you have a physical birth, you are flesh. But in order to have a spiritual birth, and in other words, to be part of the kingdom of God, you have to have a spiritual birth. A natural birth produces natural relationships that we have with one another in the flesh. I mean, you can't have that unless you're physically born. And a spiritual birth produces spiritual relationships. And so, again, if you just step back, Jesus was stating the obvious. You can't be born again until you're born the first time. You can't be born spiritually until you're born physically. Now, again, I thought when I was finishing up my notes, well, what do you say to the people about those children that have been aborted? They weren't born of water. Wasn't their choice. It was somebody else's choice. I believe they're in heaven. I believe they're in heaven. I believe every little child that dies before they realize what sin is in heaven. I can't tell you, this water in the Spirit, how it applies to abortion. I don't think abortion was ever part of God's plan. But they're in heaven. So, again, get the point of what Jesus is trying to do. Here's a ruler of the Jews. Here's a Pharisee. Here's one that has been taught all his life, I'm part of the kingdom of God because I'm a Jew. My birthright. I'm going to get it. I'll do good so I can, please God and earn rewards. But there's no question in my mind that I'm part of the kingdom of God because I'm a Jew. And Jesus had to just hit him figuratively right in the face and say, no, you're not. No, you're not. Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Now, all sorts of people today have the same idea. They are convinced that they can get into heaven another way. Not by birth. I'm not talking about Jews, although some Jews today still think they're going to get into heaven because they're Jews. They're going to get into the kingdom of God because they're Jews. But there's all sorts of people today that think that because they believe this or because they've done this or haven't done this, that they're going to be part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus would say to every one of them, through us, unless you are born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. And we have to, that truth, I used to have a pastor that always told me, you can't get somebody saved until you get them lost. They have to understand they're a sinner, and there's no other way into heaven except through Jesus Christ and being born again. No other way. And the first six verses, I mean, when we read John chapter 3, we want to get down to John chapter 3, verse 16. Wonderful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I want to tell you tonight, the first six verses are just as important. Because people need to understand there's no way into heaven except being born again. You can't get it because of who you are or who your parents are or what you've done or what you haven't done. You only get it through Jesus Christ. Thank God for John 3:16, but thank God Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. All right, we'll quit there tonight. Pick it up in verse 7 next week. Of course, the Iwana people won't be here, but you can get the tapes. Listen to the tapes. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.